Welcome, church. It's good to have you here in the building, and for those of you who are online, it's good to be together with you. With all of the strings that are strummed on any given Sunday morning, I am surprised that that does not happen more often. Think about all the services I've been in over the years, and can probably count on one hand the amount of times that I've seen a string go. So, Matt and team, way to go. Way to adjust, and on the fly, good work. Yeah, sure. Wonderful. If you have your version of the scriptures this morning, I'd ask you to take and turn them to Acts chapter 28. You could turn on your phones, access the Word of God through them as well, if you don't have a hard copy with you. Acts 28. Just two verses to begin our time together this morning. At the very end, verses 30 and 31. Acts 28, 30 and 31. He lived there two whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. This remains among the most unusual endings in all of the books in the scriptures. As Acts concludes, Paul remains in Rome. There is no final farewell. There are no resolutions to the saga that he has undergone. There are many questions that are left unanswered. Seemingly, Luke simply closes his tablet, puts down his pen, and stops writing. And this morning, as we're gathered, we might ask ourselves, we might wonder, why? Why this sort of ending to a book that has been marvelous? It's captured and captivated us as we accounted and recounted the steps of the early church. Could it be that perhaps it ends this way because the story is still unfinished? Acts was never meant to be just an accounting of Peter or of Paul or of the early church. Acts is the ongoing work of Jesus through his people by the power of his Holy Spirit. And even though Luke laid down his pen many, many years ago, Jesus is still working. Amen? Amen. Which means that the story continues. We serve the same Jesus of Acts and have been given the same Holy Spirit and sent about on the same mission. And today we are going to participate together throughout the sermon in saying the following words. Let's say it together now. Until he's finished. This is the first of 2 weeks concluding our series through Acts. Today we will look back, we will rehearse, and we will reflect on the hand of God with the establishment of his first churches. Then next week we will consider our ongoing part here in Lancaster as it is in heaven. Our question today then, in reflection of the first six movements in Acts, is this: how does the ongoing work of Jesus in Acts continue to shape and sustain his church today? And before we consider how we will answer that question, let's take a moment to pray before we go into the Word of God. Father, thank you for your Word. Indeed, we are thankful that you are the same God. And Father, we need your Word. It is our daily bread. Through it, you sustain us, you uphold us, you challenge us, you grow us. And this is our time of corporate study where we gather around your scriptures, our eyes all on the same verses, reflecting, rehearsing the magnificent truths that you are with us and that you are still at work. We give you the glory. We ask you to change our hearts, renew our minds, strengthen our spirits for the work you have given us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke opens his narrative account of the early church with an important promise. It's one that began all the way back in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And if you remember, it was this: "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, Luke, he has not left us with a handbook on church growth strategies. That's not what Acts is. There are no blueprints for future building projects. There's no mentions of the church budget, and there's little content within Acts about leadership structures. At the opening of Acts, we are waiting for the manifestation of a promise. Because what God has planned for the early church leaders is far too great a task for them to accomplish on their own efforts. They cannot do it alone. The church will be born and sustained through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. The work of the church, both in the opening chapter of Acts and still today, must be girded and empowered by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Friends, we are a dependent and needy people. We might not like to admit that. We might not like to think of ourselves that way. But we live in constant need of God's help. We sing of it, "I need thee every hour." And praise God, He's promised to help us. And praise God, He's given us the indwelling presence of God, the Holy Spirit. This means that as we gather, as we do life on life together within the church, it means that every confession, every act of repentance that we see, every step of faith, every transformed life that we witness, every baptism that we celebrate, every person who is drawn to Jesus, every time we gather to take part in the Lord's Supper, it is evidence that the Spirit is still at work in our congregation. He's not finished. Every relationship that's healed, every friendship that's restored, every saint that's carried into glory, every person that's healed from sickness or infirmity, it's evidence that God is with us. And as the Holy Spirit rested upon the people and the leaders of the early church, so too does He rest upon we, the people of the church today. The work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church continues by God's design and decree today until He's finished. And in Acts, we observe that as the Spirit worked, He was not just creating new believers. He was forming new believers into something new, something that had not yet existed. We are a new kind of community, a new people, a new family. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 32, we read of this. "Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common." In Acts, Luke has introduced us to one of the greatest miracles of the Holy Spirit, and that is the formation of a new, dynamic, and diverse community. Think about it. This was the first time where people from all different backgrounds, coming with all their different life stories, all their different experiences, being drawn together and learning to live as one new people. Through the power of the gospel, God wasn't only changing beliefs and redirecting allegiances, He was also changing how we belonged. In church, we are more than just a gathering. We are a family in formation. And we recognize this every time we step in and pray or care for one another. We experience it as we serve one another in love. We see it as we forgive one another, as we bear one another's burdens in love. This is how Jesus shapes his people into his likeness, through the demonstration of sacrificial love within the Christian community. This is the church still becoming who Jesus has intended for us to be, a people set apart for God's glory and God's purposes as we live and share the good news of Jesus with anyone who God brings into our pathways until he's finished. And church, as we consider this, we remember that the church was never meant to stay gathered in one place. God's mission requires movement. It requires outward expansion. And as the church expands, we observe very early within the narrative of Acts that this movement is going to face adversity and hardship and obstacles. It did then, it still does today. Acts chapter 8, very early in the narrative, Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Now those who were scattered, went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. Very early in Acts, we find that the church is scattered. It wasn't scattered by the choice or the intentional strategy of the first leaders. The church was scattered through persecution. And what would appear to be a setback actually became a catalyst. Believers were forced to leave their comfort zones. The gospel begins to spread into the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus is proving to his first church and confirming to we who are his church today that his mission will not be stopped by any form of opposition. Church, many of us have seen this. Many have discovered, many of us can give testimony that some of God's greatest work in our own stories has happened through seasons and in times that if we were able, we would have never chosen for ourselves. Difficult diagnosis. The unexpected career change. A relocation or a disappointing outcome. The loss we were not ready or prepared to grieve. In these interrupted spaces, we learn to recognize how God is creating opportunities for witness. The places we never planned to go, the things that we never wished to live or experience, these become the places and experiences where Jesus is helping us grow, confirming our purpose, and sending us out to those whom he is calling to himself until he's finished. And with the outward expansion of the early church, as we witness it in Acts, a question begins to emerge. Who exactly is this gospel for? Who is it for? And as it turns out, the answer to that question would be far beyond what most had anticipated. You remember one of our monthly memory verses, I believe it was from April, was in Acts chapter 13, verse 47, where it said this, "For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." God uses the expansion of the gospel to move the early church beyond the familiar boundaries of Jewish populations. The church would grow beyond Jerusalem. It would grow beyond Judea and far outside the boundaries of Israel. The heart of God is revealed to us as a heart that is for the nation. His kingdom is greater still. His invitation is both deep and wide. And with the expansion of the gospel and the growth of the early church, we are witnessing God gathering the nations unto himself through Jesus. Church, the gospel is still the power of God today. And friends, this is what we are called to live and share with others the good news of Jesus. This is among the most significant ways that we participate in the work of God today, living, sharing, proclaiming the good news. One of the greatest temptations that we must learn to resist is the temptation to lose our heart and lose our love for those whom God is reaching. The temptation of inward focus, it builds walls and it makes idols that keep those who are perishing outside of our buildings so that we can remain comfortably within them. The calling, the two callings of evangelism and discipleship, church, these are dynamically intertwined in the church. We exist to do both, to disciple and to evangelize. And oftentimes, probably more than we realize, we're doing both simultaneously. And so we break out of our cultural comfort zones. We move beyond generational differences. We enter into our neighborhoods. We cross streets even as we cross economic and social and political aisles to share the good news of Jesus with others. God's heart is still for the nations. Those who do not yet know Him, He desires that none should perish. And still, church, by God's grace, here in our own Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, there is plenty of good gospel work to be done until He's finished. And as the mission expands, as we continue through the narrative of Acts, the first disciples in Acts begin to realize the ever-increasing cost of discipleship. Jesus calls faithful disciples. He does not call enthusiastic fans. His witnesses are those who have counted the cost. They have dedicated their lives to the ministry that they've received from the Lord. And it's right here where we come into contact with the scripture memory verse that we've had for the month of May. Let's say it together one last time. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I've received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God, Acts 20:24. Luke has perfectly crafted the narrative of Acts to highlight the lives of the early church leaders. And as we read, we are to observe and we are to learn from them. We are to see their habits, to learn from the ways that they live and that they speak and that they serve. Acts has given us living testimonies. Paul's goal is not to live a comfortable life. His goal is faithfulness. These are his words in Acts 20. Paul's goal was not self-preservation. It was not personal achievement and accolades. His goal was faithfulness. The mission of Jesus becomes the center through which Paul orders his entire life. And church, it's an example for us to follow today. Every disciple, every faithful follower of Jesus, living as a witness, reflecting the mind and the attitude of Christ. It's not just for our missionaries. It's not just for our pastors. Yes, they are precious and special to us, but we recognize that this is a mission for all of us. Whether we are at work, at our jobs, or whether we're in school, or in our neighborhoods, or even around our dinner tables, reflecting the mind and attitude of Christ. Our lives are not our own. God's mission is advancing as His people are faithfully living, speaking, proclaiming the gospel until He's finished. And as Paul draws nearer to Rome, what we read in Acts and what we follow as we trace this narrative is that both opposition and obstacle are intensifying. We can think back the last few weeks as we studied towards the end of Acts. Paul is arrested. He has multiple trials. He's sailing through storm. Eventually, he's shipwrecked. And yes, he's safe, and he makes it to shore. And as he's building a fire, what happens? Bitten by a snake. We still don't like to think about it. He ends up in Rome, not as a free man, but as a prisoner. Does all of this point to the end of the mission? Has the momentum of the gospel been lost? Can the Spirit still work through such adversity and disruption? Paul doesn't stop. Even up to the end of Acts, even the verse we read today, Acts 28:31, he was proclaiming the kingdom of God, teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. How? With all boldness and without hindrance, period. That's how Luke chooses to end his book. Without hindrance. Do we still face obstacles, adversities, disruptions, and delays today in the church? Yeah. And they are unable to stop the advancement of Jesus' work. The kingdom keeps advancing. The gospel continues to spread. The church continues to grow. It's not dependent on our circumstances or our living conditions. It's not dependent on the time or the place that we have happened to be born into. This is a mission that entirely belongs to Jesus. Amen? It's His. And He is faithful to finish what He's promised to do. He said to Peter in Matthew 16, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. He is doing that still today, building His church. There is no doubt, friends, that we will face challenges in service to the gospel. We've experienced in our days cultural resistance. We've experienced it. We've experienced political upheaval. We've seen war. We've witnessed injustice. We've seen all forms of unrighteousness. Many questions that we long to have clarity on still feel unanswered. Our circumstances sometimes feel as if they're unraveling, and sometimes our faith might even feel like it's becoming unmoored as we struggle with our own discouragement and doubt. And still, through it all, Jesus Christ is Savior. And still, Jesus Christ is the risen Lord. And still, He's the reigning King. And still, He is coming again. Those truths have not changed. It will not change. The same Jesus who we have watched sustained His first church in Acts, He will continue to sustain and uphold His church today. We belong to Him. He is working with us. He is for us. He is working in and through us until He is finished. And we ask this question at the beginning of our time together this morning. How does the ongoing work of Jesus in Acts continue to shape and sustain His church today? Friends, the ongoing work of Jesus in Acts continues to shape and sustain us by reminding us of the patterns that Christ Himself has established for His people. Jesus has not changed. He continues to shape and sustain His church as we remain dependent on the Holy Spirit, as we live together as a family in formation, as we trust Him to transform our obstacles into opportunities for witness, as we participate in His work in the world, as we faithfully live and speak the gospel, and as we place our confidence in the unshakable faithfulness of our risen King until He is finished. The church is the work of God through Jesus. empowered and equipped by the Holy Spirit. And our extraordinary God is a God who turned Paul's prison into a pulpit for proclamation. He turned persecution into kingdom expansion. From within storms and shipwrecks, he brought forth and sent out witnesses with powerful testimonies. In his hands, our obstacles become opportunities for ministry. God wastes nothing. And think about the believers in Acts. Most of the believers in Acts, do we realize this? Most of the believers in Acts are unnamed. Many of them would never stand before kings or crowds. Most would never participate in writing a book of the scriptures. God added to the number of the church as thousands repented and believed, turning to him. And many of those first believers' lives would be shaped and defined by simply living faithfully right where God had planted them. And church, through ordinary obedience, Jesus is able to change, to transform homes, transform places of employment, schools, entire communities. Welcome to Acts 29, church. The book of Acts may be finished, but the work of Acts is not. The ongoing work of Jesus continues, and we have a significant part to play right here in Paradise, Pennsylvania, because he has called us to enter into that work right here where he situated us. Same gospel, same spirit, same king, same mission. Now, Luke ends Acts with Paul proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and hindrance. Then he lays down his pen, and for the next hundreds of years, Jesus has been writing the rest of the story. Generation after generation, nation after nation, town after town, leading right here to little old Paradise, PA. We are a small part of a much larger story, one that did not begin with us, one that certainly will not end with us. This is a story that belongs to Jesus, and he will continue his work until he is finished. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. This account in Acts, it reminds us that you are faithful. We watch the early church leaders, empowered by your Holy Spirit, face persecution, face obstacle and adversity. They were disrupted. They were delayed. Everything that we could imagine seemingly working against them. And you proved yourself over and over again, the God who was able to overcome. And you make your people overcomers. What a wonderful truth. Lord, you've given us work to do right here in Paradise, PA. There are people in our own backyards, people living right next door to us, across the street, who you may be drawing to yourself. We don't know. They do not yet know you. Lord, may you stir our heart for them. That we may follow the example of the early church leaders living, proclaiming, speaking, and sharing the good news of Jesus, both in word and deed. That others may see, hear, repent, turn, and believe that Jesus is Lord, that he is Savior. You are a good God. Why you choose to use us, Lord, we don't know. But we pray that as your Spirit indwells each and every one of us, that we would be a faithful reflection of Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.